Welcome back to the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. Today's episode is podcast episode number 200. For 199 previous weeks, Jeff Lyle has released Kingdom Truth, Spiritual Guidance, and Helpful Counsel so that Christians can understand better and live more victoriously the life given to them through Jesus. We celebrate today's 200th episode and welcome you to join us for all the episodes to come. Now, let's get into today's talk with what Jeff is ready to release.
Woohoo! Hey, we made it. 200 episodes. Who would have thunk it? I remember when we got started with Mavericks and Misfits. It was an accidental ministry. That's what I like to call it. I was coming out of cancer recovery. I was on sabbatical from my normal outlets of being able to preach and teach. And I had so much, passion, revelation, whatever. You know, God just, he didn't quit talking because I was on sabbatical. And I really didn't have a place to do it. And it was so easy to set up a microphone, hit some software, download it, get used to how to work through the software. It took literally an hour to figure out how to do a podcast. And since I was cut off from all other forms of sharing what God was saying, I just started Mavericks and Misfits. And that was 199 episodes ago. And there's been a bit of an evolution. I hope we're a little bit more flowy than we were at the beginning. But regardless, I just want to say praise God. I'm so grateful that this has helped me during that time to have an outflow. Maybe it was a little bit of a selfish start because I just had a need to share. But what we found out pretty quickly is the topics at hand resonated with a lot of people. And I just want to say thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to have a voice. And thank you, Lord, for all of those that have tuned in over these last 3 years. And thank you also to all you who are listeners. Some of you are newer listeners. Some of you have been around since the very beginning. And I'm just full of gratitude today. I'm actually not a sentimental guy. I don't really slow down enough to be sentimental. I'm more about what's happening right now and what's happening tomorrow than I am what's happened in the past. But I also realize that it's healthy every now and then just to pause and to soak it all in and just to give God the glory for his faithfulness and to take some deep satisfaction in fulfilling the ministry that's been given to us. I think we ought to do that from time to time. Now, I don't want to stay there. I don't want to put it in park, but I do want to maybe slow down and just kind of just take a moment and say, man, he's been good to us. He's been so, so good. So I was thinking, by the way, how'd you like the new intro? Don't get too used to it because we'll probably go back to the old music, but wanted to do something a little different today, a little voice from Kwame bringing us in, and then also the guitar riff that just sounded kind of cool to me. We'll probably go back to the boring old kind of vanilla thing here shortly, but for today, I wanted to denote that we're doing something a little bit different today. I don't have a script. I don't have a topic. I hit record and just want to flow. A couple of things. Some have asked me, Jeff, why don't you just turn this into a video podcast? Well, I'm going to give you the very simple answer for that. It's much harder to do. I can literally do audio by myself, but with video, there's a little bit more to it. And at this point, I don't have any real plans to do a video, I don't know what you call it, representation of the podcast. People in the industry, I work with some marketing people and some people that are very well versed in podcasting world and the video world and the trends and all of that. And they say, man, if you just do video, it'd attract a whole lot more people. And I'm just like, man, I don't have the time. I don't want to have to think about what I look like on a camera. I don't want to have to put on the right clothes. I don't want to have to do lighting. And then the editing portion of it is a pain. So, well, we do Transforming Truth videos, and I have staff that handle all of that stuff. And so for the podcast, it's just me and you and Jesus. And so we'll probably keep it that way, and I appreciate all the input from others. But until somebody can run it, and here's the thing. We don't raise money for Mavericks and Misfits. It doesn't cost really anything but time to do it. And so you start hiring editors and video and all that stuff, it becomes an expense, and I just don't really feel like I want to do that right now. Now, if you want to donate $100,000 to Mavericks Misfits to see it on video, you can hit me up at jeff@maverickmisfit.com, and I will happily take those funds and make it into video. But until that happens, welcome to the audio version, yet again, 200th episode of Mavericks and Misfits. Again, I don't have a script or anything today. I just kind of wanted to get on here and flow a little bit. And I thought, you know, 200 is a special mark. What have we talked about for 199 previous weeks? You know, again, I think I've made mention a couple of times recently. We started this podcast to really seek to invite people into a more holistic view of what it means to be a Christian in the 21st century, and especially, or more specifically, in the realm of the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the authority of the Scriptures. Now, there's a whole lot more to God's kingdom than just the Bible and the gifts of the Spirit. But I have been spiritually raised in two worlds. One that was almost exclusively theological and biblical. And then two, I had to transition, so to speak, into the world of the charismatics because I was sovereignly baptized in the Holy Spirit by God back in 2003 as a fundamentalist Baptist pastor. Was radically ambushed. I write about it in my book called Figuring Out As I Go. If you've never gotten a copy of that and you want to know in detail what that experience looked like for a guy who wasn't really interested in some of the more fuller expressions and manifestations of the Spirit, and then God didn't ask my permission. He ambushed me, and I entered the world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit almost just thrown in and baptized. And so immediately I found out, okay, it's theology and power. What do I do? And as I, as the book title says, figured it out as I go, as I did that, meeting people along the way and those that came behind me from the same world, I met a guy. Let me just go on. I'm just going to run rabbit trails today. Can y'all roll with me? It's episode 200. I'm going to do what I want to do. Come on. So I met a guy this weekend. He's in his probably mid-40s, late-40s, and he goes to a very established Baptist church in Metro Atlanta. And he came to me. I was teaching a men's group at a church up near where I live. And, you know, I don't know, 60, 70 men that were in there. And this guy's waiting for me. And he waited a long time. And he finally, I get to him, and he gives me his journey about how God's been awakening him to the theological awareness that the gifts of the Spirit have not been done away with. You know that I've hit this so many times, I'm not going to hit it here, but there's not a single verse in the Bible that tells you, that tells us that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are ceased today. Not a single verse. It's not in the Bible. It's a man-made doctrine. So this guy had started figuring that out, but he doesn't know what to do with it. He does not know what to do with this hunger he's got for the Holy Spirit. His church is not a church that is going to advocate for that. There's not freedom there for him to explore it. His leaders don't believe in it. And so he's just trying to pick my brain. And, you know, I'm telling him about the podcast and how we started off with maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 messages on the necessity of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I did a whole theological series when I was taking Meadow Baptist Church through an expository series on 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, which those passages teach us on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I encouraged him to listen to that if he could find that series. That was back in 2000, I think, I don't know, 14, 15. And so what I'm saying all that is to say, man, there are a lot of people who are theologically grounded, Bible trained, Bible loyal, but they know there's more. That's what that guy said to me. He said, I know there's more. And I'm like, yes, sir, there absolutely is. And then on the other side of the track, when I entered the world of the charismatics, I was alarmed. And by the way, I am not ashamed of wearing the title of charismatic. Doesn't mean I endorse everything that goes on in charismatic circles. It just means I'm ruined for the cessationist world. To be a charismatic is to believe in the charismata. It's the Greek word for the gifts, the grace gifts. And so I'm a charismatic. And when I entered that world, I was shocked to find out how many people in the world of the charismatics didn't know the Bible. I didn't know the doctrines of Scripture, had never been trained to actually study the Scriptures. They knew a whole lot of Holy Spirit passages, but there was a robust deficit in knowing the Word of God. And so I found, man, the Word of God people don't believe in the power of the Spirit, and the power of the Spirit people seem, that's not for everybody in either camp, but seem, these are generalizations, they seem to be ignorant of the scriptures. And I realized that when you look at the first century church, what did they have? They had apostolic doctrine, which became the written New Testament, the writings of the apostles, the beliefs of the apostles, the theology of the apostles, and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. That became our New Testament. The early church, that's what they operated in, and they operated in the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And now, as R.T. Kendall has articulated, there's been a great divorce, that in the early church, the Word and the Spirit seemed to divorce from one another along the centuries. And as Dr. Kendall says, as with any divorce, the kids go to live with one parent or the other. And so what happened is the church that used to be parented by Word and Spirit then divorced, and you had children, children of faith, children of God, growing up either with the Word or the Spirit, but not both. And so I believe that part of my assignment in the podcast in Transforming Truth and the book I wrote and teaching at Kineo Ministry Training Center and leading at Antioch Outpost, I believe that like a solid chunk of what God wants me to do is to remarry Word and truth in the hearts of those that are willing. Because it's so much like the devil to tell the Holy Spirit people that doctrine, I've actually heard Holy Spirit leaders, charismatic leaders say this, that doctrine and theology come against the Holy Spirit. They throw all of that into a religious spirit kind of denunciation. And I'm like, don't you know it's the Holy Spirit that wrote the Bible? Don't you know that it's His book? How could a proper approach to His book undermine His work? And so I rebuke that kind of nonsense. And if you're a charismatic who is allergic to his or her Bible, repent. You need to repent and get in the Word. Not just Joel 2 and Acts 2. Okay? Get in the Word of the Lord and study it from beginning to end. Get enrolled in Kineo Ministry Training Center, for crying out loud. Let us teach you the Scriptures and the Spirit. And if you're a Bible person who's been wrongly taught the error of cessationism, which says the gifts are no longer available, there's no more tongues, there's no more prophecy, don't expect miracles, don't expect healing, that stuff doesn't happen anymore, there are no more signs, there are no more wonders, all you have is the book of God and that's enough. And I get it, I used to teach and preach that stuff too. But my goodness, God didn't just seal himself up in a book and said, read it and we'll have personal relationship and interaction when you get to heaven. It's heresy. It's a terrible doctrine. It's just like the devil to tell the Word people there is no power of the Spirit anymore, no gifts of the Spirit anymore. And it's just like the devil to tell the Spirit people that they don't need their Bible. And so one of the things that I want to do in Mavericks and Misfits is regularly hit this home. So most of you that have been listening for any length of time, you're somewhere in some level of a comfort zone with both the Word and the Spirit being valid and necessary. And I commend you in that. But today's 200th episode is not going to ease up on this kind of teaching. I'm going to encourage you, you need to go deeper. Listen, I'm feeling this right now. Like some of my friends, some of you are Baptists, some of you are Presbyterians, some of you may be a different denomination, but you just have seen all the wackiness among charismatics, and your response is, if that's what it means to be a charismatic, I don't want to come anywhere near that. Can I say that I want to apologize for some of the stuff that's been done in the name of the Holy Spirit? And I want to agree with you that not everything that is attributed to the Holy Spirit is actually the Holy Spirit. I want to go ahead and acknowledge that the enemy will counterfeit some signs, wonders, and some supernatural occurrences. I'm 100%. But here is a rule that you need to live by. You do not judge the validity of a doctrine or a practice based on how it's abused. You do not look at the abuses or the misuses and then choose disuse. When you see abuse and misuse of gifts of the Spirit, the choice is not disuse. You don't cease. You don't walk away. You don't say that stuff doesn't exist anymore. If weirdness is existing, therefore the true authentic moves of the Holy Spirit can't exist. That's a terrible approach. So the proper response to abuse and misuse is not disuse. It is the correct use. And some of you are literally missing out again another year of experiencing the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus had to, when John the Baptist said that Jesus was coming to baptize with Holy Spirit and fire, that's got to mean something. What is the fire? Fire generates heat and light. It generates power. And listen, it's not just cerebral power. It's not just the power of knowing what is true from the Bible. The power was displayed all throughout the book of Acts. It's referenced in the writings of Paul. It's seen again in the book of Revelation, much of which is coming at the end of the age that hasn't happened yet. So they had the power of God at Pentecost, the power of God after Pentecost, the power of God is displayed in the future end time revival and awakening that is portrayed in the book of Acts. But people say, but there's no power now. There's no supernatural power now. There's no Holy Spirit gifts now. Well, where did you get that? Because if God placed in the Bible not only the expression and the demonstration of the gifts, but the theology of the gifts, if that is in the Word of God, I'm going to ask you a bold question. Who in the world are you or your professors or your pastors or your leaders? Who are you to remove from the Word of God what God put in the Word of God? To say that that's no longer in practice, you better have some clear scripture that says these gifts have ceased. And you won't find any shelter in the scriptures for the doctrine of cessationism that says the gifts have ceased. It is a man-made doctrine, and it is absolutely detrimental to the move of God in every generation to say that the Holy Spirit doesn't move like he used to move. It's wrong, it's unbiblical, and it is a very dangerous doctrine. Now I'm going to flip the coin while I'm offending my cessationist listeners or offending people of different denominations. Let me go ahead and talk to my fellow charismatics. Some of this stuff that's going on in the sloppy prophetic movement and the contamination and the mixture in the charismatic world where there is this unbridled, no guardrail, full pedal to the metal, we're going to do whatever we want and call it the Holy Spirit. Do you know what damage that is doing to the actual legitimate working and movings of the Holy Spirit? Do you know how grieved the Holy Spirit is with some of the stuff that goes on among charismatic people? So much of it can be flesh. And the devil makes sure that that's what gets put on YouTube. That's what gets put on Twitter/X. That's what gets put on TikTok. That's what gets put on Instagram. To make sure that people who would otherwise be interested in the genuine move and gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they can't get past all the stupid, foolish, nonsensical stuff, fleshly stuff that we, charismatics, attribute to the Holy Spirit. And guys, I'm just like, where is the authentic biblical representation of the work of the Holy Spirit? It's like some charismatics can't enjoy a church gathering or a service, a gathering of the saints, unless something absolutely astoundingly off the charts weird happens. And they go home and they're like, yeah, man, all we got was, you know, some songs and some teaching. And I'm thinking, do you realize that in the New Testament, the Christians gathered and sang and truth was taught and heard and embraced and hashed through, that there didn't have to be a fireworks show? It's not about, you know, religious pyrotechnics. And like we charismatics grade a service based on the how high did their emotions go. Where do you find that in the scriptures? So I know I sound like I'm mad. I'm really not. I'm just like, when are we going to grow up? When are we going to escape the pre-adolescent version of the church and everybody's fighting, saying, you need what we got. Well, you need what we got. I'm like, we all need what is real from God. We need what God gives, not what you got. And so I want us to, like, I really want to encourage you that are word people. You need to start praying every single day. Maybe you've never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You've never experienced any man, whatever you want to call it, manifestation of the Spirit. No tongues, no prophecy, no miracles, no healings, nothing. You've never been around it. You don't believe in it. You're not personally an individual that's experienced it. But maybe something in your spirit is saying, but I do know there's more. I don't know that what the charismatics have got is what I want, but I know there's more. Then this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray every day, God, you are good, and I want everything from the Holy Spirit that's available. Why is that a risky prayer? Why is that a risky prayer? Some of you are like, I don't know if I want to pray that. I think I already have. Okay, well, then there's no damage. If you just go before the Lord humbly, Lord, I think I've got everything you have to offer through the Holy Spirit. And if there's some of it, Lord, that is meant to manifest in my life but isn't, then I would want that, because if it comes from you, it's good. Why don't you just pray that? Pray it every day. Pray it every day until it gets answered, and it will get answered. You will be changed. You will be encountered. Because if you're sincerely wanting everything that the Holy Spirit has for you, you're going to experience it if you sincerely want it and you're going after it, because there's nothing that can stop it. It is God's will for you to experience everything provided in the Holy Spirit to you. The Holy Spirit is God in you. Jesus actually doesn't live in you. Jesus is seated bodily on a throne at the right hand of the Father. Holy Spirit is God in you. And he doesn't want to be grieved. He doesn't want to be quenched. You grieve who he is, you quench what he does. And when he's grieved, his power is quenched. But the thing that ungrieves the Holy Spirit is when we come before him in humility and brokenness and hunger and say, whatever you want, I want. And immediately the grief goes away, because the only thing that really grieves the Holy Spirit is when we operate in fleshly pride or stubbornness or fear. But when we come out of that and we say, Holy Spirit, give me everything that you have. I want it for the glory of Jesus in my life. I want it because the gifts of the Spirit, according to your written word in 1 Corinthians 12, are for ministry to the saints. Ephesians 4, to build up the body of Christ, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Holy Spirit, I don't want toys. I want tools. Holy Spirit, I don't want magic tricks. I want a manifestation, a demonstration of the Holy Spirit power in my life. Jesus, how will I glorify you if I'm just operating out of my knowledge and my own individual natural strengths and abilities? Jesus, I need something more. Like, go low, get hungry, and stay there until he begins to shape your life. For those of you that are Holy Spirit people, what do you need to be praying? God, forgive me for ignoring my Bible. God, forgive me for being bored with what you released in written form into the world. Forgive me, Lord, for not treasuring the fact that human blood was spilled that I might even have a copy of your word. Forgive me, God, for only studying the parts of the word that I already like. Forgive me, God, for not reading the instructional epistles of Paul and John and James and Peter. Forgive me, God, that I only dabble in the word, and therefore, Lord, my fuel is one-dimensional. I only have a certain representation of you available to me. Lord, forgive me for not reading the word. Lord, teach me how to grow in my objective faith in the written word. I want to say this, and guys, at the risk of making it sound a little opportunistic, I don't even care today. Some of you need to be in Kineo. Kineo Ministry Training Center is a rare breed of theological ministry equipping center. It is a Bible college. You can audit the classes. You don't take any tests. You don't take any quizzes, but you get access to all of the information. You can do that. That's not what I recommend, but you can do that. And you can just get the content, and it will enrich your understanding of the Word of God and the life of a Christian. You can also get a diploma. That means you will have a certain amount of classes. There'll be tests and quizzes, just like going to school. And you can get a four-year diploma. You get a diploma every year for 4 years. And by the time the first year is over, you'll be more equipped than probably 90% of the church in America. Through the truth. You've already got the gifts of the Spirit, some of you. You know how to speak in tongues. Bravo. You can prophesy. Awesome. You know how to feel the presence of the Lord. Great. You've got discerning of spirits. Fantastic. But do you know the covenants? Do you know any creeds? Do you have eschatology? Do you have pneumatology? Do you have Christology? Do you have soteriology? Do you actually know what the Bible teaches about subjects that maybe you aren't particularly interested in your flesh? Because you need everything that the Bible says. Where are you developing your moral views from? How is your sanctification? How do you know you're walking in sanctification unless the Bible is teaching you what sanctification is? So you can get an audit, you can get a diploma, and you get a degree. The degree students have access to deeper teachings and more teachings and writing assignments. You get an actual accredited degree at Kineo Ministry Training Center. Why do I recommend that? Because I know what we're putting forth there. We got 45 campuses across the U.S. You can do it on demand at your own pace. You can be online and watching live from your home while the classes are taking place live from Dawsonville, Georgia. Dr. Karen Smith, myself, we've got other professors, Robert Slaridan, who wrote God's Generals. We've got Dr. Philip Fields, who's just a brilliant man that pastors south of Atlanta in Peachtree City. Then we've got guest preachers and teachers like Paul Johnson, Sarah Sutherland, Matt Scott out of Moody, Alabama. I mean, guys, there's just such a wealth of teaching. But charismatics just want to show up. Sorry, I'm just going to say this. Many charismatics just want to show up and get their their supernatural hit on a Sunday service and then get by till the next Sunday service, and you don't know squat about the Word of God. Don't you realize the Holy Spirit uses whatever's inside of you, and the more truth you get inside of you, the more revelation that there is, the more power can come? I just want to see this. I'm doing this on purpose for the 200th episode. I'm just kind of retapping the roots here. Like, we need to be people who operate under the authority of the written word and in the necessity of the Holy Spirit. And pardon me, but I'm not going to settle for one and not the other. I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ one day, and I want to know that as much as it depended on me, I pursued him according to objective truth in the written word of God, and I pursued him for personal encounter. I don't want to just read about my God in a book when he died so that I might have a personal, interactive relationship with him through the Holy Spirit. That's what the world needs today. The world needs to be able to encounter a church, a bride, the body of Christ, that no longer forces people to choose between a book or an experience, the Bible or an encounter. No, we need both. And man, I'm just compelling you. I pray that all of you that are listening will listen to what I say. I don't know that I have a more important message to share with these listeners of Mavericks and Misfits than to tell you strongly with exhortation to you to think about it and do something with it. Get biblically educated. Kineo is one place. Go to kineomtc.com. KINEOMTC.com. Or just Google Kineo Ministry Training Center. Guys, we are the only Bible college in the state of Georgia that I'm aware of that has as a value to keep the tuition as low as possible. We try to make it affordable for the everyday man, the everyday woman. And the wealth of the content there, Dr. Karen Smith alone, year one, is worth 4 years of our tuition prices. But you're not going to pay 4 years of tuition for 1 year. You're going to pay 1 year. And guys, the stuff that if you make it to year four with me and we talk about leadership through the life of David, the life of Elijah, we go to the book of Revelation and look at worship scenes that are in the book of Revelation, and we dissect what does worship look like in heaven versus what it looks like on earth. And then I teach a course called Transformational Church that does a lot of what I do on Mavericks and Misfits, just says, hey, why are we the way we are when it doesn't look like what the Bible says we're to be? And guys, there's just so much finding out your Jewish roots in the faith, that the book, the Bible that we love was written almost exclusively by Jewish men, the New Testament. And we just come at it from a Gentile American approach, like, and we miss things because of it. Oh, I so want you guys to get enriched and grounded in truth. Listen, I didn't complete my master's degree until I was 46 years old. I was 30 when I completed my bachelor's degree, and it took me, this is embarrassing, but true. It took me 16 more years to finish my master's degree. I had to re-enroll 4 or 5 times because life and ministry were so busy, but I got it done. And I'm so grateful now to be able to help people in their journey. And I want charismatics to know their Bible. I want everybody to know their Bible, but I especially want my charismatic brothers and sisters, because we have the beauty and the treasures of the Spirit. And sadly, so many people, you know, can't even find the book of Habakkuk in their Bible. And for you that came from where you are, where I came from, in the world of the Baptist or the Reformed world or the Presbyterian world or the cessationist world, and I applaud you. I'm glad you know the word. But if you have never encountered God the Spirit, I'm just going to ask you a reasonable question. Do you really think that Jesus is not wanting to have personal encounter with you? That he really wants it to be academic? That the entirety of what he died and rose for is so you would just understand him with your mind? Do you just learn more about him and then have to wait till you get to heaven to experience him? That there has to be some kind of awakening in the hearts of those that love the Word of God to begin to love passionately, personally, interactively, and experientially the God of the Word. Guys, I want to thank you for being a part of the audience for episode 200. We're going to go right into 201. I think next week I want to talk to you about the peace and how you can protect your mind and your heart as we enter an election season from getting overwhelmed with the things of the world. And I appreciate you letting me just share my heart today. Guys, this is just kind of what I want to do, and I want you to be impacted. I want you to be stirred. I want you to be motivated. The last thing I want to do is leave you with any sense of having permission to live an average status quo Christian life. The average status quo Christian life is an opponent to the awakening and the revival that God is releasing. And if we settle for average and status quo, we are part of the problem. But if we will press in, even with our weakness, our limitations, not having full understanding, not knowing what to do all the time, but if we'll press in a brokenness and a surrender that remains, and we'll stay humble before God, and we'll only fight the battles that he says to fight, and we'll let everybody else fight all the stupid skirmishes that Christians are wasting their time and their energy on. Stop fighting believers in the name of the Lord. Stop fighting Christians. Start fighting Satan. You won't have enough time to fight Christians if you're fighting the devil. And if we'll leave that stuff off and we'll stay hot and fiery as we stay low and hungry, we're going to see some amazing thing happen. I can't wait. I want you to be there when it does. We'll talk to you next time on Mavericks and Misfits.
That was fiery. To experience more teachings from Jeff, please visit transformingtruth.org to access video sermons, 30-minute teachings, and all of Jeff's social media links. If you have not read Figuring It Out As I Go by Jeff Lyle, get yourself a copy wherever you buy books or listen to Jeff narrate it on audible.com. Thanks for listening to today's episode of Mavericks and Misfits. We drop new episodes every Tuesday, so subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or stream from the archives at maverickmisfit.com.